lot of me talking. Well, let's do some more. We're going to be in Proverbs this evening. We'll be in the book of Proverbs. In a little bit, we'll spend just a moment in the book of James chapter 2. So if you need a mark in James chapter 2. But we begin in Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. As we've been looking at different characteristics, we come to one today that perhaps you haven't thought of yourself, or perhaps you encounter. We're looking at the lesson on a poor man. Proverbs actually has a lot to say about poor men. In Proverbs 21 and verse 13 is our verse this evening, or our theme verse. It's, "Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered." It was back in January of 1964. The president at the time was Lyndon Johnson. Lyndon Johnson, at the time, he spoke of a war on poverty. As he addressed Congress and the joint houses of Congress in his State of the Union address, he had said at that time, now this is in 1964, that the poverty rate in the United States stood at 19%. And so what did he do? He brought about Medicare, food stamps, the Job Corps, Head Start, and other programs. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, the American poverty rate all the way back in 2012 was 16%. So you go from 1964 to the pretty close to the current date, even 10 years ago, and it hasn't changed a lot. 50 years or more and billions of dollars to reduce poverty rate by a mere 3%. Not a whole lot. Recent studies have indicated that this disparity between the rich and the poor is actually only increasing. It is something that is not going away, and in fact, it won't go away. And Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 8, he says, "For the poor you will always have with you." It's not going to end. It's going to be there. There will always be this war on poverty. And so the Proverbs here warns us about our treatment of the poor. When it says, "Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered." And so this is our verse for the evening. In fact, in the book of Proverbs, the word poverty, or an associated word, is mentioned over 46 times in this book. It is used in various Hebrew words that I'll speak on in just a moment. But all of the words really refer to the poor as a lower social class, or pictures them as poor or poverty. Here's some ways that they are used. One of them, one of the Hebrew words, is used in Proverbs 14:31. It says, "A needy person is driven to express a desire for relief." This Hebrew word, I can't pronounce this, I think it's Eb-yon is my understanding, but it's a word that specifically speaks of a beggar. All right, so sometimes the poor is called a beggar. It's found 61 times in the Old Testament. It's often translated as needy or poor. It's found 4 times in the book of Proverbs. Another one, another use, is also of exhausted or bent low. The Hebrew word dal is used 48 times in the Old Testament. It speaks of someone who is low, weak, or thin. It really pictures somebody who is exhausted. It pictures, so this word is used 14 times in the book of Proverbs. It's like it said in Proverbs 19:17 when we read, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed." So it's somebody, in this case, they're exhausted or bent low. Another form is dispossessed. The Hebrew word yarash, it's translated possess 116 times in the Old Testament. It speaks of an inheritance that has been lost. They've gained it and then lost it. And then the fourth way we see this word in Proverbs is humbled, really humbled because of an affliction. The word anav, it blends the ideas of being humble, poor, lowly, and meek, and it is used 3 times in Proverbs. You see, sadly, those who find themselves expressing their need for relief, they are exhausted, they are dispossessed and humbled by affliction, are normally people who are treated pretty bad by culture. They're despised, they're rejected, they're ignored. The sad fact is that Proverbs says this is no different when it was being written, the same things we have today. And Proverbs 14:20 tells us the poor is disliked even by his neighbor, but the rich has many friends. Or Proverbs 19:7, all a poor man's brothers hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursues them with words, but does not have them. They're not treated right. The New Testament even speaks out against the snobbery of those who have versus those who don't have. This is where I'm looking in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. If you can turn there for just a moment, then we'll go back to Proverbs for the remainder of the evening. I read the first 9 verses of James chapter 2 to see what is taught us about the treatment of the poor. It says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, 'You sit here in a good place,' while you say to the poor man, 'You stand over there,' or 'Sit down at my feet,' have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." When we look at this and compare it to Proverbs, I believe we get a theme. We see that God wants us to have wisdom in regarding poverty and riches. Be wise in how we treat others. Be wise as we receive of the Lord. So we're going to look carefully at the reasons for poverty as presented in the book of Proverbs. Now, I will be clear as we go through the reasons of poverty. I do want you to understand. Where am I at? Oh, okay. I do want you to understand that I'm not saying that this is the only reasons for poverty. I'm not saying that if you are in poverty, you have done always, it means that you've done something wrong. I'm just addressing what we see in the book of Proverbs, all right? And so which ones are spoken of? So while the problem of poverty is evident and solutions for the problem are constantly suggested, the book of Proverbs does speak to some reasons for poverty. These reasons would not be considered politically correct in our modern world. And yet, I believe God's word transcends time, transcends culture, and so we can see how this plays out. So we're going to look for several reasons for poverty. If you forgive me, I already went through all of these, so give me a second here. I'm sorry I didn't put those up for you. I got ahead of myself. Here we go. The first reason we see given for poverty in the book of Proverbs is laziness. Laziness. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. What happened here? I messed up a little. Proverbs 6, 6 through 11. Let me turn there and read that for us. Hey, God's word says this. "Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man." There's an encouragement here to the slugger to do a careful study of the ant. The ants, they don't have a chief, they don't have a ruler, they don't have an overseer. And yet the ants are working. They're preparing in the summer for the winter. And they get ahead and they avoid starvation. They avoid destruction. But when people spend too much time sleeping and too little time working, verses 10 and 11 tells us the result is poverty. This laziness is going to come to ruin. Did you know the average American will spend 9 years of their life watching television? The average American spends 5 hours a day watching television. That's a lot. And how many more now are spending even more time just on television, on their digital devices, on Facebook? Such inactivity, Proverbs says, can lead to poverty. The second one it tells us, I have it already up there for you, is stinginess. Stinginess can lead to poverty. While one, it can be prudent with their finances, and that's a commendable thing, stinginess in helping others is not commendable. Because stinginess leads to poverty. There are two passages given to us in this regard. First, in Proverbs 21, verse 20, it says, precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it. Or how about Proverbs 11, 24? One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. It's saying, don't be stingy. Be willing to help when we see the needs. Thirdly, we see drunkenness. Drunkenness can lead to poverty. Proverbs 23 and verse 21 tells us, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. I've never drank alcohol in my life, other than if you count me drinking some NyQuil before bed when I have a bad cold, all right? So I've never purchased alcohol. I've never had it. And yet I sit there and I can see how much it costs and how much I've seen people spend. The expense of buying booze can then be followed with somebody who wants to stop and they have to seek pay money to get help to stop. What other things happen from it? Maybe because of the drunkenness, you lose your job. It may be the family. You've lost your family. You lose your reasoning skills. Excuse me. Or maybe how many, because of drunkenness, have lost their freedoms? You see, there should be no debate about the fact that drunkenness can lead to poverty. Drunkenness is always discouraged. Fourthly, gluttony. Gluttony, we find in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 22. Now here it says, how did I mess this up? I was getting ahead of myself. Gluttony. Again, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags. It's the same verse we just read. That's where it confused me. But gluttony is closely related to laziness, all right, in Proverbs. It's interesting that as you think about this in America, did you know as we become increasingly more obese in America, there's an increasing disparity between the rich and the poor in America? Never would have thought of that. The studies have shown the increase in obesity also leads to an increase between the rich and the poor. It's also interesting to note that while prejudice is not tolerated in regards to race or age groups or gender, but yet there are prejudices against the obese in America. So gluttony can lead to poverty. Fourthly, we see greed. Greed leads to poverty. This is Proverbs 28, verse 22. God's word says, a stingy man, in this case, a stingy man, you got my notes. Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I copied right out of my notes. In parentheses, that was Matthew's explanation, all right? A stingy man hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him. In this case, hasty can mean evil eye. So maybe your translation will say evil eye there. So a stingy man or a man with an evil eye hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him. You see, for many years, there have been those who have been enticed by playing the lottery. I think I've shared with you before, when that jackpot gets up in the billions, there's that thought that comes in my head, ooh, wouldn't that be nice? I secretly sit there and wish, I wouldn't feel so guilty if somebody else just happened to give me a ticket and I won, you know? Wouldn't that be nice? You see, it allures us. We're sitting there going, oh, I can just picture being rich and all that I could buy, all that I can afford. There are many, many who have been enticed to play with the lottery. Many who can't afford to play the lottery. And how few actually ever become rich from it. And even if they do become rich, how many have come to ruin because of it? And you see, greed, it says, leads to poverty. And so that's just another area. Number six, stubbornness leads to poverty. Stubbornness does. Without a teachable spirit, there's little chance for personal advancement. Proverbs 13:18 tells us, poverty and disgrace come to him who ignores instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is honored. How many employees have been fired or didn't get advanced in their career? Why? Because they were too stubborn. They didn't listen. They weren't willing to grow and change. And so as a result, people lose their job and they come to poverty because they were just plain stubborn to learn. I remember when I was first hired, I was hired at Grace Baptist Church down in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And I remember when Pastor Hawkins was interviewing me for the job and he had given me the job. He said, Matt, your boss is Ray. Ray has since passed away. I loved Ray. He died during COVID, so I never had a funeral. It was sad, but he told me, Matt, you may think you can do something better than Ray. You may have another way that you think is better than Ray tells you to do it. He said, but you better listen to Ray, because if you don't, you're not going to keep your job. You see, sometimes we're so stubborn, I'm right, that we lose jobs or advancements because of it. That's the idea here. Stubbornness, not having a teachable spirit, ignoring instruction. Number seven, lack of compassion. Lack of compassion. There are three times in the book of Proverbs, and so I'm not going to read these ones for you, but three times the book of Proverbs warn that those who cannot empathize with the plight of others, those who don't have sympathy for those in poverty, can and may, in fact, experience poverty themselves. What a stern warning. That as God, he balances the scales of justice, and as he's looking at this, that he says those who demonstrate no compassion may just come to poverty themselves. That's a scary thought. One more, number eight. A lack of discernment. A lack of discernment. Look at Proverbs 28 and verse 19. It says, whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. Can you think of in the scripture somebody who would describe this? Who instead of working had worthless pursuits and they came to poverty. Can you think of a story in scripture or a person? Hey, there you go, Aaron. Aaron's winning 1,000 points, brother. All right, that might be your first time getting points, I think. The prodigal son, that's who I had on my mind. Here was somebody, he had everything. He had a father who clearly had worked hard, and he went off, he took his wealth and these selfish pursuits, and he lost it all. He came to poverty, was eating out of the pig slop. You see, a vain person is a worthless, idle, or empty person. Wrong companies can quickly lead to corruption. We see that in 1 Corinthians 15:33. It could be bad business deals. It could be bad habits. It could be bad friends, bad decisions, bad directions. They all come to the same results. 5 minutes spent with the wrong friend can lead to a lifetime of poverty. We must be careful. We must have discernment. And so as we consider this, we ought to take time and look in the mirror. Let me go back actually for a second and just consider. I think at times we can be guilty of some of these. And it's a warning just at least look in the mirror and consider what we're doing. some may be afflicted with poverty because of this. Maybe we lose jobs or we have some struggles because of some of this. I'm not saying this always happens to everybody. These are proverbs. It's a generalness in teaching us. But as we consider the reasons for poverty, I want us now to look at the treatment of the poor. You see, not only does Proverbs tell us why some are poor and in poverty, it also speaks how we are to treat those who are in poverty. Believe it or not, we have to have careful attention to how we act towards others. We are to be generous towards the poor, not indifferent, cruel, or stingy. As we look through here, we'll see several of them. Let me see if that'll come up. Proper treatment of the poor leads to blessings. We can go in an order here. As the book of Proverbs, I'm going to go actually chronologically in this one, starting in Proverbs chapter 14, to see the blessings for those who treat rightly those in poverty. I begin in Proverbs 14 and verse 21. Proverbs 14, verse 21 tells us this. It speaks of happiness. That's a blessing. Happiness. Look what it says. Whoever despises his neighbor is a sinner, but blessed or happy is he who is generous to the poor. It's just like Acts 20 tells us, Acts 20, 35. It is more blessed to give than to receive. There is happiness when we can help others. Secondly, skipping in the same chapter to verse 31, we see that there is honor, honoring God. We are blessed that we can honor God when we give to the poor. Proverbs 14:31 says, "Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him." When we help, it honors God. When we are merciful to the poor, God is honored. 1 Corinthians 10:31 would tell us that those who would live to bring to glory to God, it tells us that we must be kind to the poor. Thirdly, there's also an assurance of repayment. Now, don't get me wrong, okay? This is not the idea that we give to get, okay? I knew somebody like that. They would give a lot because they believe that they would get a lot in return. That's not the thought here. But God does promise that those who provide for others will be provided for themselves. All right? Not, again, as we give to get, but we are assured that as we give, God will take care. All right? So there is that aspect there that the book of Proverbs tells us about. But fourthly, there's also opportunity for leadership. Proverbs 29 and verse 14 in this case, and it tells us, if a king faithfully judges the poor, his throne will be established forever. And you see, caring for the poor is close to the heart of God. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 also tells us, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He left the riches, the splendor of heaven, and came down to us on earth. You think about it, he leaves all of that to come to a lowly manger and to die on a cruel cross. And by becoming poor for us, his sacrifice made us rich. We will be in heaven. We will be with him for eternity. And so as we look at that, there's an increased opportunity for leadership. If a king faithfully judges the poor, his throne will be established forever. There's an encouragement there. But just as we looked at there about this, the proper treatment of the poor, there's also an improper treatment of the poor that leads to sorrow. That it is promised. Three ways we see this. The first one, the improper treatment of the poor is considered a reproach. Those who treat the poor poorly are a bad testimony. For these three points, I didn't put the verses, maybe I did. Actually, I did. Improper treatment of the poor is a reproach. I just didn't put it in my notes. Here we go. Proverbs 17, verse 5. Whoever mocks the poor insults his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished. Those who treat the poor are a bad poorly are a bad testimony. It is not godly. It fails to reflect the character of God who provides for all, and so it's insulting to God when we mock the poor. And secondly, improper treatment of the poor brings punishment. This we see in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13 and 22:16. In 22:16, it says, "Whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty." There's punishment. Well, what does Galatians 6:7 tells us? That when one sows, one will reap. Those who demonstrate no sympathy when they have opportunity will receive no sympathy when they have need. Be careful how you treat others, because if you're in that same situation later, you might get the same treatment. So there is an aspect of punishment. There's also an aspect, if you treat well, you can gain leadership. So is the opposite. Improper treatment of the poor brings loss of leadership. Proverbs 28 and verse 15. "Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered." Isn't that a horrible thing? Whether it's a loss of a throne or a political arena or somebody in the home, it says when we don't treat the poor rightly, there is loss. When we don't treat them rightly, we've lost everything. We better be careful. We will experience loss. What does this tell us? It tells us that God cares how we treat the poor. It happens for various reasons. It can happen for sin. But even if it happens for sin, God cares how we treat them, how we look at them, how our attitude towards them. That's the point we are getting to here. That God cares for the poor, and we are to respond rightly by them. And so as we conclude, we're getting to the last part of our consideration about these truths of poverty. I want us to consider just a few things, some fundamental truths. I think I have at least six here that we should consider this evening. All right, as we consider these, we consider them with care, and we consider them with prayer. The first being, poverty can cause despair. Remember that this is the situation of what's happening to them. And the first thing we see is it can cause despair. Look at what Proverbs 10:15 says. "The poverty of the poor is their ruin." There are so many throughout history who, because they've come upon extreme poverty or lost it all real quick, who've taken their own lives, or they've sold their bodies, and they lose all hope. You see, those in poverty, despair is a real thing. They can be in a bad place. And even though God promises to supply all of our needs, he does not promise to provide our greeds. And so people, they despair. Many people allow their self-worth to be a reflection of what their financial prospects are. How many people struggle when they're poor or don't have stuff, and they think, I'm nobody, nobody cares, nobody loves me. Trust me, I've talked with people like that. I've talked with people not even that long ago who they are struggling with. Why, if I love God, why am I struggling without financial success? And so there's a sense of despair and saying, I'm worthless, nobody cares. Secondly, poverty may also cause humility. Proverbs 18:23 says, "The poor use entreaties." You see, there are those who would be content to beg, but most people would rather starve than beg. Most people would rather starve than ask for help. It is a very difficult thing for somebody to say, I need help. There are those who don't care, don't get me wrong, but there are others who are struggling, and they think it's an act of humiliation to ask for help. Poverty has a way to bring humility. Thirdly, not only that, but poverty may cause servitude. Proverbs 22 and verse 7 says, the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is the slave of the lender. In Bible times, if you think about it, those who failed to pay their debts, they were often placed into prison. They were supposed to be able to try to earn back, or they were sold into slavery. And while these type of debtor prisons, we don't see them anymore, at least not in America, and slavery is in the past, there still are those who sell their freedom in various ways. Maybe it's credit cards. Maybe it's an automobile dealership. They sell anything they can, and people will take advantage of them. They really do. It's unfortunate that they would take advantage of somebody this way, realizing that people, they can't control their spending. They can't control having a credit card. They can't help themselves, and so they can't go to church. They have to work. They can't do anything. Poverty can make servants out of people. Fourthly, poverty may tempt somebody to steal. As they are hungry, as they are struggling, they may, out of despair, do something they would have never done otherwise. Poverty may tempt one to steal. Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9, remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. There's a prayer saying, protect me so I don't resort to stealing. Fifthly, we see that poverty is better than lying. It is better to be poor than to lie. Proverbs 19:22 says, a poor man is better than a liar. This is a verse that people in business or sales should know. Why? Well, the verse is telling us that as God is looking out, he's saying it's better to be poor and have pretty much nothing than to be a liar. Better, you know, you want to be a man of your word, even if it means you're poor. Have honesty. Lastly, poverty is better than cheating. Proverbs 28, verse 6. It says, better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than a rich man who is crooked in his ways. You see, sometimes getting ahead comes at a cost. It really does. You know, we play games a lot in our household, and there's been a couple times we've had to tell the boys, if you're going to cheat to try to win, we won't play anymore. You know, that's just a game, but we do it because we want to win. How many people have tried to cheat to get ahead financially? Saying poverty is better than being a cheat. Getting ahead comes at a cost that should never be paid. One of the greatest things that we can learn from this book then in relation to poverty is that God sees all in the same light. God, we could look at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 2 or 29:13. The point is, God is not impressed with our wealth. God is not impressed with your riches. God sees whether you're rich or poor on the same grounds. And he says, it doesn't matter what your wealth is at. What matters is how you treat others. And so as we come across those who are poor or in poverty, treat them right. Treat them with respect and dignity. Yes, they may be in that situation from sin, but we need to have some sympathy and love them and care for them just like we would somebody else who is not in their steps. Church, I think that we have done well from my experience here, but oh, we always need that reminder on how we treat others. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths we need, Lord, that we aren't to look on contempt and judgmental of others, Lord, in their impoverished state. Lord, they may have deserved it from their actions, but you still love them and care for them, and we need to love them as well, Lord. So may we have sympathy. May we be careful how we treat those who are less fortunate than ourselves. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we pull out our prayer,